All right, we need to start. It's time. All right, well, for those who have not been with us yet this year, we are looking at the topic, and it's actually taken from 1 Timothy chapter 4. Paul calls it doctrines of demons. And these are doctrines or teachings, really, that are promoted in the world. Some of them, I believe, are designed by the devil himself. But many of them, what we're looking at for the first half of this study, probably through the end of January, is teachings that the devil has either designed or promotes in the world that keep people from Jesus Christ. After the end of January, beginning of February, we'll probably go to some other doctrines of demons where the devil takes doctrines that are sometimes even found right in Scripture, but he'll twist them a little bit, and basically his desire is to keep you and I as God's children, as believers, as useless as possible for Christ. But anyway, what did we look at last week? Witchcraft. We looked at witchcraft, and as I mentioned last week, I have known one person in all of my life that called themselves a witch. They actually practiced the craft, but we noted that it permeates our culture incredibly in so many different ways today. We talked about Disney movies alone. I mean, there's almost not a Disney movie that doesn't contain witchcraft of some sort, at least the promotion of it. And again, Satan's desire really is not so much to empower people with witchcraft, just getting thinking that they can. All right, anyway, deception there. What did we talk about the week before that? Satanism. That's just basically the outright worship of Satan, and that is present in our world. And the reason I started there is I personally do not know a Satanist, but the tactics that Satan uses in causing people to worship him are the exact same tactics that are found in every other teaching that we're going to look at. The core teachings of Satanism are found in every other teaching that he does. Tonight, we need to begin with prayer, and then I'm going to read to you for a minute, but let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we are thankful for the truth of your word, the fact that you give us this book. It's more than a book of guidance, but Lord, we thank you for the guidance that we have in it, that we can take so many false teachings in the world that are designed to deceive people, to keep them really caught in their own sin, captive to what you don't want them to do. Lord, we thank you for your word to us that teaches us different, really, not only how to identify these teachings, but how to avoid them in our own lives. And along those lines, Lord, to be a proclaimer of truth to those around us, to help others see the light, so to speak, and not be captive to their sin and evil. Lord, I ask your blessing upon our time tonight. I pray, Father, as we go through this lesson tonight, and there are some coming up in future weeks that could rub people the wrong way. They may hear some things, Lord, that they've never heard before. So I pray, Lord, as we approach these topics, that it would be in your love. But at the same time, I pray, Lord, as we look at these teachings in the world and compare them to what your word says, that we would not only become educated about it, but Lord, we would be convicted and possibly, Lord, even change as a result, change our mind concerning these things that we've heard. So Lord, I just pray that you would lead in this study, and Lord, just asking you as well for weeks to follow. I just pray that you would bless our time, and Lord, that you would just be glorified through what we look at. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. I did bring a few more of these. If you're interested, you can take one and make as many photocopies as you like. It's just a very, very simple track. Not necessarily designed to lead someone to the Lord, but to plant some seeds, and you can hand them out with your Halloween candy if you want, but there are some more out there. Let me begin tonight. I want to read you, and it's the About Us page. I got this off of a website. And I got it from, I found the website through an article in our very own View on Mesquite magazine. But I want to read this to you. It is the About Us page from a website called Expand with Julius. Has anybody heard of Expand with Julius? Okay, good. I'm glad. But it will be good that we're informed that this is out there. All right, here it is. This is the About Us page on their website. It says, though people who know Casey and Brad Wallace will tell you that they really are just regular folks, they certainly have an extraordinary life experience together. Prior to the events that will unfold before you, it is curious to note that Brad and Casey were only acquainted casually through one of Casey's family members who worked very closely with Brad's construction company. Over time, they developed a friendship, and as it was spiritually destined, love blossomed in their hearts. Their journey began to unfold through the unfortunate and traumatic events that ensued when Brad was undergoing treatment for a brain injury, a direct result of a car accident. While recovering in the hospital, Brad endured deadly complications from a reaction to his medical treatment and fell into a coma. While medical professionals were certain that death was imminent, Brad was in the midst of a near-death experience. During the hours that he was absent from this realm, Brad was tenderly and lovingly embraced and taught by the most benevolent high-light energy group. Through those astounding life-altering teachings, Brad and the group agreed for him to return to this earthly realm. They would aid in his recovery, and together with the collaboration of another, and that's in quotes, would teach human beings not only what Brad learned, but much, much more with their generous assistance. The unparalleled loyalty that grew over the great many lives between Brad and one of the high-minded light group's members was so steadfast that when it came time for Casey and Brad to entitle this group, it was only natural that Brad would adopt this light being's name from a significant shared past life experience, and Julius was born. Courage, strength, persistence, compassion, understanding, and love. Yes, immense, boundless love between Casey and Brad and Julius has advanced Brad's miraculous recovery beyond anything the medical community could have anticipated. Today, though he is not physically ready to convey Julius' full transmissions to the public, he plays a most integral role that sustains this magnificent team. Through their perspective and tireless work in this global arena and enduring devotion to each other, Casey, Brad, and Julius can claim in unison that all is falling into its glorious and rightful place. As Casey feels Julius's energy, with her consciousness, she transfigures into an exquisite expression of divine art in motion and begins to trans-channel Julius' message. As we are enveloped into their safe haven, Julius elegantly permeates and dissolves those age-limited perceptions that can bind us and replaces them with empowering, leading-edge, yet practical information from their endless menu of transformative teachings. Brad, listening attentively, probes Julius with his extensive intellect and takes conversations to heights that leaves audiences feeling full but wanting more. Through their telesummits, private sessions, published books, and their membership club, the Julius Academy, Casey and Brad Wallace and the ever-passionate highlight energy group from the other side named Julius are captivating and empowering growing audiences from every walk of life and from all over the world. Together, this extraordinary trio is gently awakening us from our earthly slumber and widening our awareness of how and why the illusion of this realm proposedly shadows the knowing or authentic essence as, it's worded, I can't even read it. But anyway, and the full understanding of ourselves as masters. We have been thirsty for the truth of our origin, and through Casey and Brad and Julius, Casey and Brad, Julius has come to quench and assist us in nourishing the deepest part of who we are while we here on this earthly realm and fully, while we're here on this earthly realm and fully discover. I'm almost done. Okay, I'm almost done. Fully discover how limitless we can truly be. I wanted to read it all to you because I'm going to quote a couple of areas here later on.
Are you sure God wants you to read that? We never have this kind of problem.
I'm reading it. The high energy group Julius says, "We are the gods who have forgotten ourselves, you and I." Okay, as near as I can tell, and I could not verify this, but partly because Shirley Schroeder, she's not here tonight, but she's the one who found an article in here on this, which caused me to go to their website, and as near as I can tell, Casey and Brad Wallace live in St. George. Okay, so they're right in our backyard, it appears. Again, I could not verify that, but most of their summits happen right up here. Here are some frequently asked questions from the website. Is Julius a person? The answer, no. Julius is a collective high-energy intelligence. They reside above singular experience in form and vibrate at the light frequency. Has Julius ever been human? Some of the group has been in human form and experience. This is why they have valuable information for the human perspective and journey. Is Julius' teachings Christian-based? Julius does not support religious doctrine or perspectives. Does Casey remember the information she channels? When channeling Julius, Casey is not consciously aware of the dialogue, although over time she remembers more and more of what comes through. Can Brad hear Julius? Yes, but not in the same way. Casey, and just in case, no, I'm not promoting this, but this is for informational purposes. You can purchase one 30-minute reading with Julius, one 30-minute reading for $250, or seven 30-minute readings for $1,500. So buy six, get one free. All right. Now, I read this to you. Hopefully, we're going to be looking at something that ties into this today. The topic we're going to look at tonight is Spiritism, all right? And Shirley Schroeder, again, she's the one who found this article right in our own View on Mesquite magazine, right at the back here, and I think they're promoting a seminar, but anyway, it's there. But the information I read was not from the article. I got it from their website, and apparently right in our own backyard, we have some renowned, known the world over, spiritists. They claim to communicate with the spirit world. And I want to begin looking at a passage in Leviticus chapter 19. So go ahead and turn there. Leviticus chapter 19, and this is God communicating with Israel as they're coming into the promised land, and within that land, as Israel is coming in, there are many, many pagan nations that are already occupying the land. But I want to read one verse in chapter 19 of Leviticus to you. And it's verse 31. And this is God talking to his people. He says, "Give no regard to mediums and familiar spirits. Do not seek after them to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God." Now, once again, we're going to look at this topic in a rather general sense, like we did with witchcraft and paganism last week. There really is no need to learn all of the intricacies of that or spiritism, but we're going to learn a little bit about this doctrine, and I'm convinced that it is designed to keep people from the true and living God. It's designed to keep people from Christ. So what is the doctrine of Spiritism? Here is the doctrine in a nutshell, okay? The doctrine is, the teaching is, there is a spirit realm, and it can be beneficial to tap into, all right? There is a spirit realm, and it can be beneficial to us to tap into it. This could be, and again, this is a very broad topic, like witchcraft and paganism, very, very broad topic. So there are a lot of areas that we can look at in Spiritism. But Spiritism could relate to beings contacting beings other than human. It could relate to spirits that used to be human, ghosts. Okay, or even the spirit of a deceased human. Okay, and while there are many stories of hauntings, Spiritism is typically the topic of Spiritism is typically the gaining of some kind of information from the spirit world, whether it's wisdom about this life, or information about the afterlife, or just to see a deceased loved one again, okay? These are all parts of Spiritism. But there are several categories of communication that can happen within Spiritism. The first one is a haunting, all right? How fitting to be talking about this right before Halloween, right? But the first one is a haunting. There have been many that have claimed to see ghosts, all right, or spirits. In fact, as I was kind of putting the finishing touches, kind of reviewing my notes, I tried one more time today to find out where Casey and Brad live. And in the process, I found out that this week, this very week, Casey and Brad are doing a video special on a 12-year-old boy named Jacob, whom they have been communicating with, and they met him on a trip to the Caribbean. Jacob, they say, lived during the 1700s. He was a 12-year-old boy that died on a pirate ship. That's what they're saying, okay? And apparently he still haunts this pirate ship. But they're going to do a video special on the communication that they had with this ghost. So, again, how convenient that they would meet him right before Halloween. There have been many claims, sightings of ghosts, claims, sightings of spirits, claims of ghosts of people who once lived and are now supposedly even still dwelling their old home. And I do believe, I need to let you know this, I do believe that some of these events actually happened, that the people actually saw something, okay? I just don't believe that it's the spirit of people. I think that the devil's deception is involved. I think it's actual demonic activity put forth as spirits of people that once lived. So a haunting is one form that spiritists will talk about as being a source of communication between the earthly realm and the spirit realm. Another one is just communication with higher beings. It really has nothing to do with ghosts, okay? And that is what apparently Julius is, a supposed higher being. Julius, they said in that article I read, they say, is a collective of high energy intelligence. They reside above singular experience in form and vibrate at the light frequency. So they say Julius is a collective of beings that are higher in intelligence than we are, but they also say that some of this collective used to be human. So some of them are the spirits of human beings that existed on Earth at one point. So humans apparently after death can gain a higher plane of consciousness. We're talking about the teaching here, okay? We're talking about the teaching. This is what they're putting forth. And that really, as far as gaining a higher plane of consciousness, that really is one of the core beliefs of the New Age movement. The third form of communication is channeling said being, whatever it is. Apparently, Casey is the conduit of Julius, and he speaks through her and only to Brad. Channeling often requires them to do some kind of ritualistic action, whether it be going to a certain place or repeating some specific words or emptying their minds or literally calling upon them or assuming a specific posture to channel their spirit. And they do that, and as they do that, the spirit then takes control of them. There is a book that I read. It's probably been 20 years ago. I don't even know if it's in print anymore. But it's a book called The Beautiful Side of Evil. And it was written by a woman who had since trusted Christ for salvation. But at one point in time, she was a psychic healer. Have you heard of psychic healers before? Okay, they claim to actually be able to do real surgery on a person, pulling out tumors or cancer or whatever it is, without ever actually breaking the skin. All right, now, there are news magazines that have done exposés on psychic healers, and every expose that I ever watched, they found them to be a fraud. But this woman claimed that she could really, really remove a tumor from somebody's body without ever opening them up. And she claimed that she could do it by channeling a particular spirit. And it was only after that she trusted Christ for salvation that she realized that this spirit that she was channeling was not a friendly spirit at all. It was a demon, she believes, okay? But anyway, we've looked at hauntings. We've looked at communication with higher beings, channeling said beings, and then, of course, another form of communication is seances. This is most often the evoking of a person that has died. also called necromancy. This, by the way, is a major part of some very, very large world religions, okay? The speaking with and even worship of those who have died before us, the worship of ancestors. I do want to point out a passage of Scripture to you, and it's in 1 Samuel chapter 28. And when we went through our series in the life of David, we talked about this passage. But I just want to bring it up again. 1 Samuel chapter 28. And we're not going to go through the whole passage. In fact, I'm only going to read about two verses of it here. But in 1 Samuel chapter 28, it's the story of King Saul, who has already really been told by God what he is supposed to do. But because he doesn't like what God has told him, he decides that he's going to visit a medium, a spiritist, and get some information. In fact, he's going to ask the spiritist to call up the prophet Samuel so Saul can ask Samuel a question. All right? And I want to remind you, again, what we read in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 31. It says, give no regard to mediums and familiar spirits. Do not seek after them or to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Okay? Yet we find this exact thing, him seeking a spiritist, in this passage. And again, in the passage, King Saul, against God's law, even against his own law, he had actually set up laws in Israel that mediums should be expelled. Any spiritist should be expelled. And he finds out through the grapevine that there's still one. So he goes to see her in disguise so he can speak to the deceased prophet Samuel. And he goes there in disguise so this witch won't know that he's the king requesting this. And let me read to you verses 11 and 12. It says, then the woman said, whom shall I bring up for you? And he said, bring up Samuel for me. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice. And the woman spoke to Saul, saying, why have you deceived me? For you are Saul. And I'm going to stop right there. Now, I believe that for the sheer conviction of Saul, God really did allow Samuel to come forth, okay? And a couple of reasons I believe this. For one thing, when she saw whatever she saw, she recognized this is not the spirit that I normally talk to. This was someone different. In fact, I believe that she identified him as Saul, Samuel, and that is how she knew it was Saul coming to her. And on top of that, this scared her. This was frightening to her. This was completely different. And the reasons, again, I believe this is a unique one-time event is because the witch was surprised. And Samuel, as you go down through this passage again, you will find that Samuel ends up telling Saul exactly what God had already told Saul. And that is not what spirits typically do when they come from the demonic realm. They will tell you something different. Okay, but anyway, along with that, know that there is not a single other place in the entirety of Scripture that depicts the dead being able to communicate with the living. In fact, it strictly commands against it and condemns it. It even condemns attempting it. So anyway, we have had a haunting communication with higher beings. We have had channeling said being seances, which is kind of what we find right here, and then automatic writing. Automatic writing is a spiritual practice in which the person involved is able to write coherent words on paper without even thinking about what they're writing, supposedly tapping into a spiritual being. Anybody recognize the name Fernando Pessoa? All right, I didn't know who he was either until I did this research, but apparently he is the greatest Portuguese poet that has ever existed. He was a poet, a writer, literary critic, translator, publisher, and philosopher, and is described as one of the most significant literary figures of the 20th century and one of the greatest poets in the Portuguese language. He was a prolific writer, but he ended up having 75, and he refused to call them pseudonyms. That's when you write under a different name, okay? He called them heteronyms. He had 75 names that he wrote under, and all of the names were named after spirits that he channeled to do the automatic writing. Another point of interest, the wife of William Butler Yeats also claimed that she could do automatic writing. All right, the last one we're going to talk about here is talking boards. Any guesses as to what that might be? All right, yeah. It actually originated as a table that had letters placed all over it, and then people would gather around the table. There was one pointer that came down, and they would actually move the table to the pointer. But later became the what we know today as the Ouija board. But these are some of the categories of communication. Anybody, just out of curiosity, willing to admit they tried one? Okay. Wow. You are braver than me. Braver than me or dumber than me. It just... 12 years old. And I'll just tell you this. What's interesting is you can buy one at Target. Yeah, you can buy one today at Walmart. You can buy one today at Target. But they... What's that?
You can use a Scrabble board. Just put the alphabet around it.
All right. Sheriff found an alternative. We're going to talk about that in just a minute again, okay? But Ouija board is going to come back into our conversation. But these are some of the categories that are put forth as means that human beings can communicate one-on-one with the spirit world. All right. So here's a question. Let me give you this real quick. Many spiritists often identify themselves as Christians. Okay, know that. In fact, many of them that identify themselves as Christians believe that Jesus himself was one of the most channeled person. Okay, they hold him in high esteem. And as they even use the Bible at times, and they will look at things that he said, but they will say that the only way that you can truly understand what Jesus said is if you now channel a being so they can explain what he really meant. All right. But anyway, I just wanted to throw that in there. That known, this is what the teaching is, that you can communicate with the spirit world, and it's there for our benefit. So... that said, one of the allures is it's beneficial. But as you think about spiritism, what would be some other things that might attract people to it? Sandy.
Astrology. You know, okay. Somebody who does that. I guess she still does it. I don't know. I witnessed her, what is that, 6 years ago.
Okay.
The word in the Bible, do I find something against it?
Yeah. And there's actually... there are terms in the Bible that refer to astrology. But yeah, astrology is one of them, really using it most times for the foretelling of the future. Yeah.
Palm reading.
Okay. So what would be attractive about it, though? What would cause somebody, Ron?
Being able to charge $2.50 a half.
What would attract somebody to pay $250, Mark? Okay. Exactly. Yep. They want to see their loved one again.
Well,
for sure.
Newspapers still have the astrological.
That's right. The signs of the zodiac. Yep. Yep.
Yeah, the signs like Sagittarius.
For sure. Right. Right. That has its root in what we're talking about. Actually, it has its root more probably in witchcraft than it does spiritism, but what else would be attractive about it? Shara. Okay, what would be attractive about that? Okay, knowing the future. Okay.
They tell you the future. My girlfriend taught me into doing it one time, and I thought it was just really weird.
Okay.
They probably tell you good things you want to hear.
Things that you want to hear, right? You know, what's that?
Things that to be aware of.
Okay. Okay, okay. All right.
Long string of
Jill?
I was going to say, I remember when Princess Diana would reportedly went to one, and if they asked her why, and she said, because I wanted to know if everything was going to turn out all right.
Okay. And that, we're talking a lot about psychics here, and that is a huge part of spiritism, but anything else come to mind? We've got the future.
There's a prestige, though, that comes with a person that can talk to the dead, because that's not everybody can do.
Oh, no. Right. Yeah, so prestige, yeah.
If I'm one that I can conjure up a spirit, you know, I'm worth $500 an hour.
Yeah.
But it's not even that it's a financial gain. It's a pride. It's a,
yeah.
Look at me. Look what I can do.
For sure. Yeah. Okay. Shara?
She would work for the cops.
Okay.
To help find missing people.
Okay.
Usually,
yep.
Yeah, you know, where can we
right.
find them?
Right. Communicate with the dead person and ask them, where are you? Right? Where are you? All right. Here is just some categories that I kind of thought through as I thought about what the allure is. And I've narrowed down to four things, and most of what you mentioned here will fall into these. It supposes to empower man, whether it be the person that is doing it or the person that is getting a reading. I mean, how powerful would it be to know the future? You know what horses to bet on, right? Okay. What I don't get, and in fact, I heard a comedian years ago, he said he was driving through his hometown and he saw, it was at a strip mall, a shop that said psychic on it, and he noticed that in the window it said going out of business, and he thought, they should have known. They should have known. All right, so it supposes to empower man. Kind of been a running theme so far in the categories that we've looked at. Remember, we talked about the three P's, the power, the pride, and possessions, okay? They keep resurfacing here. So the empowering, they promise man empowerment through enlightenment, knowledge, to have that mystical power that nobody else has, to supposedly communicate, as Dave said, with the spirit world. I mean, who can do that, right? And we noted last week, the truth of the matter is the person doing the channeling, because we talked about this briefly as we looked at witchcraft, is not the one in control. Okay, they're the puppet. They're the one that's being used. But the allure is it supposes to empower man. Secondly, it supposes to magnify man. Going back to Casey and Brad Wallace, they address their followers as masters. You are masters. Julius teaches about people, and he says they are the gods who have forgotten themselves. But Casey and Brad Wallace themselves, they have quite a following. all over the world. They've been sought after. The people have wanted the Council of Julius, and on top of that, Casey and Brad Wallace are constantly doing readings, seminars, retreats. They even have what they call the Julius Academy, where people can regularly sit under the teaching. They've done TV and radio shows. They readily admit that Julius has been worshipped. They readily admit that they have been worshipped, and while they claim that they don't want the worship, they claim that they don't want the recognition, they claim they don't want to be magnified, yet they think they're worth $500 an hour. Okay? It supposes to magnify man. It supposes to satisfy man. I mean, it would be satisfying to tap into a power that no one else has. It would be satisfying to learn the deepest lessons of life and the afterlife. It would be satisfying to gain secret spiritual knowledge. It would be satisfying to know that there is an afterlife. It would be satisfying to know that our loved ones are okay. Which leads us to the last of the lore. It supposes to justify man. We're going to elaborate on that a little bit as we go, but think about it. If an unbeliever in the truths of Scripture, were to visit a medium and have them bring up an unbelieving relative, a relative that did not believe in Christ, that would confirm to them Jesus isn't the only way. See, Grandpa wasn't a Christian, and he spoke to me from heaven through a medium. So Jesus must not be, so it supposes really to justify man without Christ. In fact, according to the most popular spiritists, and notice how I word, the most popular spiritists, they say everyone moves on to a better place. All right. No need for the blood of Christ. No need to trust in him alone. That is one of the things Spiritism teaches. It is a doctrine designed to keep people from Christ, and it does suppose to justify man. So what is the truth of the matter? And I can't believe our time is gone. What is the truth of the matter? This is the most important part. The truth is, Spiritism is an afterlife facade. Spiritism is an afterlife facade. It puts on a false front concerning life after physical death. It seeks to prove that all people can live on after life. Maybe wandering the halls as a ghost of a hotel they died in, okay? Maybe in complete peace and tranquility. Maybe as a higher intellectual being. Maybe as part of a high light energy group. All of this without Jesus, without God. Spiritism is an afterlife facade, okay? It puts on a false front concerning life after physical death. The truth is, one can communicate with spirits. And other spirits. Not dead people, but as we've been talking about, this is doctrines of demons, okay? Evil spirits, fallen angels, demons, perhaps even the devil himself. Turn to another passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. This is kind of a heavy topic, isn't it?
Yeah.
2 Corinthians chapter 11. And I want to read to you two verses here. And I want to restate this. The truth is, one can communicate with spirits. Again, not dead people, but evil spirits, fallen angels, demons, perhaps even the devil himself. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 14 and 15. And no wonder. For Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. How was it that Casey and Brad described Julius? High energy, light, right? Or Brad, it says Brad, and I'll just quote here, Brad was tenderly and lovingly embraced and taught by the most benevolent high light. For Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. The truth is, one can communicate with spirits. And in their pursuit, it will not be spirits of deceased loved ones. It will not be high energy light groups. It will be demons masquerading as tender, loving angels of light. The truth is, spiritism is nothing to be trifled with. It's nothing to play with. If one goes fishing in that pond, something might bite. Something might bite. Janine and I, we know a believing couple. And thankfully, this worked out good, okay? But we know a believing couple. They trusted Christ many, many years ago. The wife was in an accident, and she ended up being paralyzed from the waist down. And they prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed for God's healing and restoration of feeling in her legs and to be able to walk again. And when that didn't work, they ended up going to Mexico to a spiritist to see if he could do. In fact, they actually went to a psychic surgeon. Thankfully, it didn't work. Because if it did, I wonder where their faith would be today. You know? Not in God. 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. It says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Of course, goes on, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brothers in the world. So he is on the hunt. He is on the hunt. And when we, again, go fishing in that pond, all right, something may bite. And so don't. Those of you that tried a Ouija board, don't try it again. Those of you that didn't, don't bother. All right? It's nothing to be trifled with, ever. The truth is, spiritism is condemned by God. And I want you to turn to another passage now, Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18, all the way at the beginning of your Bibles. Deuteronomy chapter 18. Verses 9 through 12. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 through 12. It says, when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes a son or daughter pass through the fire. And there was a specific God at that point where people would actually sacrifice their children to. But here's actually the part I want you to hear. Or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out before you. Another passage, if you still turn back a couple books there to Leviticus, toward the front of your Bible, Leviticus chapter 20. Chapter 20 and verse 6. It says, I want you to understand that God not only condemns this, but he takes this very, very serious. I mean, he took it so serious that as his people were taking the land that he had promised to them, he made sure, he wanted to get all of those pagan rituals out. But Leviticus 20, okay, verse 6, talks about the person, the Israelite, who dabbles in it. It says, and the person who turns to mediums and familiar spirits to prostitute himself with them, I will set my face against that person and cut him off from his people. I want to look at one more passage here in the Old Testament, and it's in 1 Chronicles, and it tells the rest of Saul's story. 1 Chronicles chapter 10. Saul, of course, was the king of Israel. God told him what to do. He didn't like it. He went and saw the witch at Endor. She called up Samuel, who told him the exact same thing. But I want to point something out. In 1 Chronicles chapter 10 and verse 13, it says, Saul died for his unfaithfulness which he had committed against the Lord. And basically, it's saying that he didn't do what the Lord had told him to do, because he did not keep the word of the Lord, and also because he consulted a medium for guidance. Spiritism, it's condemned by God. God takes this very serious because he understands what a person is tapping into when he opens that door. The truth is, spirits must be tested. And we got a few minutes left here. I want us to turn to 1 John, all the way to the other end of your Bible now, to the back. 1 John chapter 4. In this passage, the Apostle John is actually talking about testing teachers that come across your path, okay, that come our way. And he calls them spirits, because if a teacher is indeed of God, he will come in the spirit of God, okay, empowered by the Holy Spirit. But if he's empowered by a deceiving spirit, we need to be able to discern the two. So in 1 John chapter 4, we read this in verses 1 through 3. It says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world." And I'll stop there and just do a little bit of explaining. He is not saying that the Antichrist is already in the world. He is saying that the spirit who will indwell the Antichrist is already in the world. And who is that?
Satan.
Satan, the devil, for sure. And I think it's important that we understand the context of this passage. It's talking about the prophets that we encounter in our day-to-day life. And it's telling us that we, as we listen to a teaching, okay, and that's what the prophet that he's talking about here, someone that's a teacher, as we listen to them, we need to discern whether they have trusted in Christ for salvation or not. Okay, it's not about just someone, as this passage very plainly puts it, that confesses Jesus Christ to come in the flesh. I believe he came in the flesh, and then listen to him. It's talking about the testimony that a person has that they know who Jesus is and what he came to do. So as we have teachers come into our life, that is the first thing that we need to do. Is this somebody that has placed their faith in Christ and is indwelled by the Holy Spirit? Or is this somebody who is a false teacher and potentially indwelt by another spirit? And we need to discern that and not listen to that person. And the last thing that I want to give you here, and I'm kind of skimming through a little bit of this, but the last truth, the truth is experience never overrides God's word. And experience never overrides God's word. And I have one more passage, and it's in Galatians. Galatians chapter 1. And I want you to listen real close to what Paul is telling this church, these believers, in the area of Galatia here. Galatians chapter 1, verse 8. And he's telling them this because some false teachers had come in behind and began deceiving them. And here's what he says to them in Galatians chapter 1, verse 8. He says, but even if we, talking about himself here, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Now, in the context of Spiritism, there have been a lot of people who say they have encountered angels. There are a lot of people who say they've encountered spirits. There have been a lot of people who say they have had spiritual experiences that have changed their lives, even for the better. There are a lot of people who have had near-death experiences, and some who have gained huge followings as a result of what they taught after that near-death experience, making millions in book sales and speaking engagements. Many of these have answered questions about the afterlife, about what heaven is like. They have given information that is sometimes even beyond, sometimes different from what the Scripture gives. And my caution to you is this: experience, someone's experience, never overrides God's word. If one's experience or anyone's experience adds to, subtracts from, or attempts to change anything that God has already said, don't believe it. Now, I'm not going to argue with that person. If someone says they had an experience, who am I to say they didn't, okay? It's not about that. Some people make more out of experiences than perhaps they should. What I'm saying is that experience never overrides God's word. If I have to choose between the two, if I have to choose between someone who said, I saw this and I heard this directly from a spirit's mouth, if I have to choose between that and what God says right here, I'm going to choose this every single time.
The whole Mormon church is based on that.
It is. Let me read you that passage again. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have already preached to you, let him be accursed. Because one of Satan's most powerful tactics in keeping people from Christ is to give them a spiritual experience that convinces them of what they saw and heard. That's Spiritism. That is a key component, really, of almost every cult on world religion. And as we get into some of these other doctrines, you're going to see, as we continue, you're going to see a lot of overlap. Just like witchcraft and paganism have their fingers in many, many cults and world religions, so does Spiritism. They put experience above God's word, and it can keep them, it can keep anyone that they convince from the truth. All right, I have taken the full hour, but you're all here. Any questions or comments? Jim?
Heavy message. I want to add something a little lighter. Reggie White was possibly the best defensive lineman in the NFL that ever lived. He was a strong Christian. He was known as the Minister of Defense. He was an ordained pastor. He became a free agent. A lot of teams wanted him. He was visiting Green Bay, met with the coaching staff, and that night Coach Mike Holmgren called him on the phone, "Reggie, this is God. Go to Green Bay."
Thanks for lightening up. Yeah. This was, when I prepared this, I didn't realize it was going to feel as heavy as it did. So thank you for lightening it up. Any other comments or thoughts on what we've looked at? Mark?
I just think it's important, and all the stuff that I've seen when you go looking for this stuff, you'll find it. Many years ago in the 1980s, that's my claim to fame, was I worked in a haunted Toys R Us store in Sunnyvale, California. You can actually pull that up on the internet.
Okay. Okay.
They were looking for it, and I wasn't, so.
Yep.
Just got to be careful with that stuff. It's not even messed with.
For sure. For sure. Kate?
I actually lived in that house, and the lady that lived in the house before us was a medium, and she actually brought something into the house. When we moved in, just a lot of little things happened, and it was a little creepy. The basement was like, you couldn't go down there. My dog would growl and bark just at the walls, and we thought he was old and senile. Well, that's also when my parents split, and when we took him out of that house to the other house where we were staying, but he quit doing all that. And it was just really interesting to see there. I mean, she had brought something into that house, and it was a scary place. It was a really scary place to live.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't creepy or haunted looking or anything, but there was something there. She had brought something in. And so, and then after my dad found the demons over there too, he changed. He was very angry and very scary. And then when he moved out of there too, then he would come back to more his normal self. And so it was a pretty freaky experience.
Yeah.
And of course, I wasn't a Christian at the time either, so I was
scared. Yeah, and that's what's so scary about this is, unless you can gain an understanding from God's perspective of what you're actually dabbling in, it can seem like, like with these guys, I feel really bad for them making $500 an hour. But no, I feel really bad for them because they are thoroughly convinced that what they are doing is phenomenal and great for people. And they have absolutely no idea what they're tapping into. I've said this in weeks past. I'll say it again. There are only two sources of the supernatural in this world. There's God and his angels and devil and his demons. And when we tap into the supernatural, okay, and just know that God exercises his power entirely different than Satan exercises his power. Satan will always exercise his power for self-glorification. He ultimately wants to be worshipped, even if it's through a counterfeit teaching. Okay, but we need to be well aware of that, and it is scary. Ron.
This is a great lesson because I just know that as a young believer, I got the mindset, before I matured and realized that mediums and psychics and that kind of stuff actually were tapping into demonic powers. you know, I remember having that mindset of, I wouldn't mind visiting one just so I could debunk them or, you know, call them out on being a fraud. But then as I grew, I mean, thankfully I never did, but, you know, growing and maturing as a believer and now realizing, you know, where it is that, that they may actually be able to know stuff about you and things like that, but it's not because of something that's good. It, it is evil. And by doing that, even if your intention is to go there and try and debunk them, leaving yourself open.
For sure. And you reminded me of something that I did want to say again, and I've said this with each lesson so far, because we've been looking at the occult. I do believe that the vast, vast majority of people out there that claim to have supernatural powers are frauds. Okay, they're tricksters. They're just frauds. Okay, they're running a scheme. But on the other side of things, there are those that I believe have opened a door that they have no idea what they've done.
Are all faith healers demonic? I'm thinking like an Oral Roberts that was, you know.
I don't know that I can answer that question if they're demonic, because quite frankly, I actually believe that most faith healers are scam artists. Okay, that's we're actually March. We're going to talk about them in March. Yeah. Okay. We're going to talk about that. So stay tuned. Yeah. I got you come back. We are almost 10 minutes over time, but this has been good. Any other thoughts?
Will that be in the new building?
Set up a tent down there, maybe. All right, let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, we do thank you for just the simplicity, really, of your truth, the simplicity of who you are, the simplicity of how you work in our lives, the simplicity of just becoming a child of yours, beloved by you, cared for by you. And Lord, we do live in a complex world, though. So many teachings out there. And Lord, I just want to thank you tonight for giving us the means through your word to discern, to tell one from the other. Thank you for our discussion tonight, and I do look forward, Lord, to some topics that are a little less heavy than this. Thank you for tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.